hopefully we are thriving today. Our scriptural affirmation today comes from the fourth chapter of Jonah, starting at the first verse. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry.
And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, "Pray to me, O Lord, whose knowledge is my saying, when I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish.
For I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil.
Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live."
Then said the Lord, "Doest thou well to be angry?"
So Jonah
And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd.
But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered.
And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live."
And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the Lord?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death."
Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night."
And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are no more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also not shadow?
Oh, dear Lord, help us to be people that get it. Help us to be people to understand your word. This day, would you show us your word? Would you open the word to us in a way that we get it, that we understand, and that we are changed, that we are made more like the people that you are calling us to be, that you would change us, that you would help us, that you would grow us in a way that glorifies your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're sitting down, think about that. Think about that. One of the most beautiful places in almost any community I've ever been in is a cemetery. You ever notice that? The place where there are memories of tough things, the place that there are just sights of great sadness, are also this place that's well manicured and taken care of, and it's beautiful, beautiful garden at times. Sometimes I just think, when you're looking at things, it depends on your perspective. You see, we need to have a perspective that's in line with God's perspective. We need to see things the way that God sees things. We need to understand the world the way that God understands it. Because if we try to get it in our own understanding, well, it's all messed up. His ways are not our ways. Sometimes we see the challenge of a life situation and we think, "Oh, how horrible, how horrible, I'm all hemmed in," and you find out that the hemming in is your very protection. Sometimes you feel like you're all alone and it's challenging, and you discover that being alone is the place where you meet God. There's so much that God wants to do and so much that he wants to share. But we find that Even good people lose perspective sometimes. Even people that know that they're called by God, know that they know Him. You know, because that's what we're doing here. We're talking to people that know that they know Him sometimes. You know, they've confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. They believe it in their heart, and they're going through their life. They've even got a little record of doing some things in the name of God. And they just, you know, and they, you know, they say in Jesus' name at the end of their prayers. I mean, these people are okay. But sometimes those people lose perspective too. Let me show you a guy who has lost some perspective. Let me pray first. Father, help us to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, to speak with your mouth. Speak, Lord. Your children are listening. Speak, Lord. We need to hear you. We need to see you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to look at Jonah 3 and 4 today. We're going to start at chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 1 in chapter 3 rather than where we had our scriptural affirmation from. We want to do that because this picture is like just too funny. Sometimes, listen, I hate to admit this, but sometimes preachers take themselves too seriously. Yes, that's the way it happens sometimes. Sometimes we are just this group of people that really thinks that somehow we're directing God on His path through life. And maybe we need to have our comeuppance every once in a while. And Jonah was that kind of guy. This guy was a prophet. He was an important prophet. You see him that he prophesied in 1 Kings. He's mentioned. So he's mentioned in the Bible. And then the Bible plops down a story about Jonah. And we know how Jonah was. He was a different kind of guy. He heard from God saying, I want you to go to a particular place and I want you to preach to these Ninevites. I want you to go to these Assyrians and preach to them. And he promptly got up and went the other way. And I can almost see God with his hands on his hips. You know, I know, maybe God doesn't have hips. I don't know. But he was like frustrated with this. I would have been frustrated with this guy. This guy is on a ship going to Tarshish, going exactly the other way. And so he causes a storm. He goes down in the storm. He's swallowed by a fish. And after about 3 days, and he finally prays. God says, fish, spit him up on the dry land. And that's what happens. And we pick the story up there in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Had to go back to him a second time. Now, I know all of you, those that know the Lord here, God never has to tell you twice. Whatever he says is done. But bear with me. I want to show you how some people can be sometimes. And God said to Jonah the second time, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. I want you to tell them what I've told you to say. And so you gotta see this picture here. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, probably 120,000 people lived there. 120,000 3,000 people in an ancient city, a city so long and big that it took you about 3 days for a man walking to cross the distance of it. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So he gets less than halfway into the city. So he's in the middle of the city by now, though. And you got to imagine what the people are saying. Now, one thing that history tells us, it's not mentioned here in the Bible, but during that period of time, there had been a couple of really weird phenomena in the sky. In a 10-year period, they'd had what happens when the sun gets covered up and it's blood? Eclipse. All right, so I'm glad you guys knew about the two eclipses that happened there. And those two eclipses, so the people were kind of freaked out about that. But not only that, they'd had a major earthquake. And now they've got this guy who's probably still got seaweed wrapped around his head, who walks into the middle of the city, and everybody knows that he is a prophet from another country. He's got to be a little bit off because he comes from a country that they had been thinking about conquering, and he walks into the middle of the city smelling like fish. And you know, his skin is all messed up and everything because he's been sitting in this fish's digestive juices for 3 days. It's a really ugly, crazy scene that we're seeing here. And this guy walks right in the middle of the city and he's not happy about being there. He does not like the Ninevites. He does not like these people because he believes these people are going to treat his people bad. He doesn't like them. He is prejudiced against them. He hates them. And in fact, you'll see at no time is he really satisfied with the fact that he has to do this. So, verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I bet you guys wish my sermons were that short. That's all he says. 40 days! Nineveh's going to be overthrown. It's going to be destroyed. 40 days. That's all you got left. 40 days. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed him. A bunch of lost people. A bunch of people worshiping other gods. They believed the word of God. It's amazing sometimes the world will believe the word of God before the people of God believe the word of God. It's not a good thing. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He had seen enough. He had heard enough. This is a mess. Okay, I'm done with all of this. If you're trying to speak to us, we're going to listen to you. And everything here is going to humble itself. Everything here, the people, the men, the women, the animals, everything is going to be humbled. And we're going to turn to you. It's amazing sometimes you can speak to people that are lost. And they will give in to God. They will turn. They will turn. You know, but you need to speak. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither Man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yes, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell? Just maybe. Is it possible? Who can tell? Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Sometimes it just gets into people's hearts. Maybe he will help me. Maybe he will care about my situation. Maybe he'll do something in my life that makes a difference. Who can tell if he will really care about me? Could it possibly be? There's a whole world out there wondering, does somebody with the power to do anything about it actually care about me? Is there someone who is over all of this mess that could possibly care about me? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. He turned himself around and said, nope, I'm not going to do that to them now. That he had said that he would do unto them, he did it not. He was going to destroy 120,000 people, but he said, nope, I'm not going to do it because those people turned away from the evil. They turned away from their lifestyle. They turned away from worshiping other gods. They turned away. So, what would you think a man of God would do? He preached a sermon, and everybody that heard him turned away from their evil and turned to God. You would expect Jonah to be going, yeah, baby, thank you, Jesus. Oh, this is wonderful. People are getting saved. They've been delivered. They don't all have to die. Thank you, God. Oh, let me see what the scripture says. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Now we say this Jonah is a mess. How could he be that way? But could it be we've got a little bit of that in us? Could it be that we're, you know, kind of happy quietly when somebody gets their comeuppance? Do you really want that person that's annoyed you to actually be blessed? Do you really want that person to thrive? Do you really want them to, or do you just want to see God's justice and go, oh, if he had just turned to God? I'm wondering, how bad do we want our community to be changed? How serious are we about seeing some of the people that we don't really think so highly of because of their lifestyle, because of their habits, because of their color, because of their age, because of their stage, because of the whatever, the whatever, because you had to go through, why shouldn't they have to go through? Because of all of, maybe we don't really want them to be blessed. We just want to, you know, say that, well, they just got what was coming to them. And Jonah looks like he was hoping that they would get what was coming to them. Now, the Ninevites were not good people. I want to be real clear about that. These weren't your sweet people with nice testimonies of how wonderful they were. No, these were killers and murderers and people who did horrible things sexually. They were not right. But God turned away his wrath from them. Jonah was angry. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? This is a bold prayer. It's like, Lord, didn't I tell you you were going to act like this? Man, look what kind of person you are. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew what kind of guy you are. Oh, I know what kind of guy. Do you know what kind of God God is? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? Do you know what kind of God God is? For I knew that thou art a gracious God. You're gracious. You give to people things that they don't deserve. You are a merciful God. You don't give them what they deserve. You're slow to anger, just like he tells us to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. He forgives. He tells us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. We see this. He knew he was gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Great kindness. And repentest thee of the evil. You were about to do them evil, and I was into it. You were about to mess them up, and I was into it. Give them what they deserve. Get them, God. Get them. And then you changed your mind. I knew that you was the kind of God you are. We know what kind of God we have. But we don't want to be like him. Why isn't it that we are merciful and gracious and kind? That's what we're called to be, at great cost to ourselves. We are to be gracious and merciful and kind. God has been kind to us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We need to be gracious, merciful, and kind. People deserve hell, but we don't need to be the ones to give it to them. We need to be gracious as God has been gracious to us. Gracious. Oh, God has been so gracious to me. He's given me so much more than I deserved. He's been so kind to me. I am upright and breathing today. Do you know that upright and breathing is not promised to you? Yet I am upright and breathing. Struggle a little bit with your breath, and you know how precious it is. He's been merciful. All of us, every person here, even the little ones, have sinned. And when you sin, when you are at odds with God, you deserve death. And yet he has been merciful and offered us life. He has offered you life, an abundant life, a rich life, a joyful life, a peaceful life, a faith-filled life, a persevering life. He has offered you life full of goodness and self-control. He has offered you life where maybe for the first time in life, you can experience love, real love. Verse 3, but Jonah is so frustrated that he's being kind and merciful and gracious. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. This guy is such a drama queen. I mean, really. Oh, I didn't get my way. Just kill me. I don't want to live in a world where you're nice to sinners. I don't want to live in a world where you take care of people like that. Take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Do you really think it's okay for you to be angry about this? So some of us are, you know, there's a, in our communities, in our world today, there's this low boil that everybody seems to be on. They're just waiting for somebody to bump them or say something to them or do something or look at them the wrong way, and they are just set off. Boom. Angry. So Jonah went out of the city. This is a slow motion thing that's going on here. Jonah goes out of the city because he knows what he preached, and he's a prophet of God, and if what he preaches doesn't come true, his life could be, you know, it could be taken away. He knows, and plus, he really doesn't like these Ninevites. Nowhere else in the Bible does anybody preach something hard to people and then go see what God's going to do about it. This guy got himself a ringside seat, built him a hut. There was a plant. He built it near this plant that gave him shade, and he did all of that so he could see when these Ninevites got theirs. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd, it's a kind of big plant, and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Remember, Jonah had 40 days until this was supposed to happen, so he wanted to watch and see it happen. But God prepared a worm, just a little parasite, just a little thing, a worm, and the worm ate the plant, and the plant died. You know, have you ever watched plants? There are some things you can do to plants, and they'll just die really quickly. Sometimes you don't see it so quickly. But sometimes they die really quickly, and this plant died. So God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd, and that it withered. And it came to pass. By the way, did you notice a phrase? God prepared. God prepared a ship. He prepared a fish. He prepared a worm. He prepared all of this stuff. God prepared. Sometimes you need to recognize God's setting up some of these situations. You better act right. Yes. Mm-hmm. God is in control.
And so God prepared a vehement east wind. Now, this is in an area of the world where temperatures get up to 110, 115, and the east wind blowing from that direction is almost always amazingly hot, arid, difficult thing. He sends this east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished, once again, himself to die. Jonah is really lucky that I am not God. You want to die? Bye. You gone, man. Don't tell me when I'm life and you want to die? Well, go away. He wished it himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, he says it again now, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Look, a plant just died and you are upset. We get upset about stuff, don't we? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. I'm so angry, I feel like dying. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored. You didn't do anything to get it. Neither madest it grow. You can't make things grow or not grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000, about 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. They do not know right or wrong. They are lost. They are going to be washed away. It's a mess. These people are not going to make it, and you care more about a plant? There was even animals there. You just want to kill it all. Can we be like Jonah sometimes? Could it be? Think about it. Could it be that we care so little about people that we don't like the ones that don't look like us? We don't like the ones who haven't paid their dues like us. We don't like the ones who are forever not going to be like us. Now, whether you say yes or no to that question, let me ask you this. Are you living a lifestyle where you are warning folks that they must be in line with God or they will be destroyed? I know that sounds so drastic, but it may inconvenience you a little bit to tell them the truth. It may inconvenience you to tell them that God is let me know that without him, I can do nothing. And I believe that it's true for you. God has let me know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has let me know that if you don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your future is bleak. God has let me know that. And I'm not so mad at you. I don't hate you so much that I wouldn't tell you that. In fact, I feel compelled I feel compelled to tell you that there is a better way than the way that I see you living now. I feel compelled to tell you that there's someone who loves you so very, very, very much and will have compassion on you, who will have grace for you, grace, who will give you mercy, because without his mercy, you're not going to make it, who will be kind to you. He wants to supply all your need. He's God, and you need him today. Sometimes, people of God, just like Jonah, he's a man of God, right? He didn't give a rip about the people around him. He just wanted to be patted on the back. He just wanted to be built up. He just wanted to make sure that it was me, mine. And that'll be fine. Us four, no more. That's it. It's too easy to be like Jonah, guys. You've got to make a decision that you're going to actively follow after God. You, if you know Jesus, has been called into the active ministry of making disciples that make disciples that make disciples. You have been called to that. It's not enough to close yourself off from the rest of the world. It's not enough to escape the demons that are grabbing at your soul. You have purpose. By grace, you are saved. Through faith, you believe his word. That not of yourselves. You didn't do it all by yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. You don't have the wherewithal to work for it. Lest any man should boast, because if I could do it on my own, I'd be just like Jonah. You poor people, you're all going to hell. I'll shed a tear for you later. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Huh, what an incredible thing that there are masterpieces. There are masterpieces sitting before me. Masterpieces sitting before me. God has fashioned you this way. And he who has begun a good work in you is still working. That's why you're still upright and breathing, because he's still got things for you to do. He's got things for you to do. You are saved. You are his workmanship, and you've been created to do the work that he has called for you. You got to spend some time understanding how he's created you and what he wants from you. But it starts with surrender to him. So today, would you bow your head with me and let us surrender to God? You might want to pray something like this. Dear Father, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for saving me, for causing me to be born again, not by my merit, not by how good I am, but by your grace and mercy, by your choice, your calling. Thank you for for changing me. Hallelujah. Thank you for changing me. Now, Lord, help me to walk rightly in this life you have brought me to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is speaking to you today, feel free to come forward and pray, or pray in your seat. Whatever it is, know that God wants to speak to you, in you today. He wants to help you. Maybe you're still not there. You still got questions. Come and pray. Maybe you just are having such a hard time with all of this stuff. Pray. Let him know that you're open to hearing from him. Some of you are lonely and you need to be reminded that he is with you and will never forsake you. Some of you are angry and you don't know how to let go of that anger. Today's the day. Feel free to come forward as the fellas play.